Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined as always by G. Hay Wiley, Armani Buckus, Brandon Joy, Jake Dicker. Full house today. How are we doing?
You know, it's getting closer to Friday, so I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, NBA draft tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be a fun week.
Draft tomorrow. Very big game four of the Stanley Cup tonight. Got some good sporting events coming up. It's going to be fun.
Exactly. It should be good. Again, we'll be talking about the draft today, draft tomorrow. So a lot of draft talk to get into. Let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, G.A.
Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski is again calling it a career. Gronkowski, who is 33... must be nice to retire at 33. announced his retirement Tuesday via social media, but Gronk's agent told ESPN that he wouldn't be surprised if his client could be coaxed out of retirement for a second time by Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady. Do you guys think Gronk will stay retired? And if he does he leave as the greatest tight end of all time?
I think he will retire as the greatest of all time in terms of a tight end, first ballot Hall of Famer. That being said, I don't think he'll be retired long. I do think he's going to skip out on training camp. He's going to do some fun stuff, live that Gronk lifestyle. But I can't imagine, you know, Tom Brady coming back to a Tampa Bay. They're one of the top teams in the league next season. Gronk coming back. So listen, he's going to skip out on training camp. He's going to skip out on the preseason. I do expect Gronk to come back. Again, Tom Brady's going to hop on that phone. Come on, man. Let's do it again. Run it back. I do expect Gronk to come back.
I think it's smart, you know, if he truly does stay in retirement, because the concussions you get as a tight end, too, and, like, all the dirty work you have to do with the blocking. It's a brutal position in football, right? And the earlier you can retire, the longer you'll probably live, I guess. He's probably going to return anyways. But either way, he's up there with, you know, Tony Gonzalez, Gates, you know, Sharp, all those guys. He's right at the top with them. So, I mean, he's had a great career, obviously, in postseason success. He's the best of all of those guys. So we'll see what happens. But I would be surprised if he stays in retirement. I agree, Ross.
Yeah, I don't think he stays retired for very long either. I think this has got to just be some sort of big publicity scheme. I don't think there's any way he makes this decision and retires without consulting Brady and knowing his plan first. Is he the best tight end of all time? I think the answer is probably, but I don't think it's as clear cut as most people think it may be. He's fifth all time in receiving yards behind Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, Antonio Gates. Shannon Sharp is going to be passed this year by Travis Kelce. He does have the, he has four rings. He's been on the best team. Yeah. So, I mean, winning talks, winning is what matters. So, I mean, probably he definitely has the argument to be made. But I think that there is, I think Travis Kelce, there's an argument to be there made there if he has another great 4 or 5 years.
And George Kittle, if he continues to be great. I mean, we're seeing two of the best tight ends of all time right now. And George Kittle doesn't get a lot of love because he's had Jimmy passing it to him.
Well, he also hasn't won 4 rings either.
Well, when you have Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback, it's hard to win 4 rings. But, like, he's the best blocking tight end of all time, in my opinion. Him or Gronk. It's Kittle or Gronk, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. This is a great league for tight ends right now. We're very blessed to be able to see Kelce, Kittle. Now Waller is getting up there being dominant. A couple of younger tight ends. So very blessed.
I will say this about when he initially retired, when Gronk initially retired. And first of all, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no question. But when he did retire, do we not remember him having a career in the WWE?
He is, and I expect him to come back at some point.
Right?
You know?
So, like, I think retirement looks good on Gronk.
Yeah.
You know, like, he can hit that golf course. He can, you know, go ahead and go to all those concerts and get on stage again and just, you know, enjoy and live his best life, I guess. Will he come back? I mean, there's always a possibility. Like, never say never.
My thing with his position, I mean, you don't need to play the entire season. I think, you know, take some time off. Again, Tom Brady was retired for 1 month. People forget, like, it wasn't even like a full retirement. So this, I believe, will be longer. I think it'll stretch through training camp, preseason. And then something's going to happen during the course of the season where, you know, someone goes down, whether it's a tight end, a wide receiver, they're going to call Gronk. He's going to, I mean, that family is physically fit. He's going to stay in shape. So, again, like, I'm not saying he's going to come back for week 1, but I would be shocked if at some point this season we don't see Gronk back.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that's fair. That, again, never say never, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Houston Rockets guard John Wall exercised his $47.4 million player option for the 2022.
That's a lot of money for a guy who doesn't play.
I mean, he has more impact on the court than Westbrook. Yeah. So, I mean.
Moving on, the Rockets will continue to seek trade scenarios in the coming weeks, but are expected to work with Wall on a contract buyout if a swap can't be found, sources have said. If you're the Lakers, shocker, we're going to talk about the Lakers. Would you consider a Russell Westbrook for John Wall trade?
So that's the only trade on the table that I think that they could make for John Wall because of that contract size. So I don't think, he's not going to get traded. But if I'm the Lakers, this is a, you know, it can't hurt. It can't hurt because literally people within the team are thinking, listen, if we can't move him, like, is there a scenario where we just tell him to stay home? So, I mean, at least with John Wall, it's not Russell Westbrook, and it can't hurt to try. So, listen, I mean, this is one of those situations where it's so bad that you're wondering, well, if we can't trade him, is there a way that we can at least get John Wall?
I mean, I think it's important to note, I should have figured this one out a while ago. Rich Paul is Wall's agent. You know, that's huge considering the clutch connection to the Lakers. And you're right, Arash. I mean, Westbrook, they can't win a championship with Westbrook on the roster. I'd say it's close to a 0% chance, maybe negative percent chance, because, you know, even if you just waive him, which I know Michael and Nick are against because of the money, tell him to stay at home, their chances go from 0 to 5%. Like, in my opinion, he's that bad of a fit on the roster. You get Wall, at least Wall, you know, he's not as healthy as Westbrook. He's usually hurt. But if he's on the court, I mean, geez, he can hit threes, right?
Yeah,
I guess he can pass,
impact,
and he can play defense better than Westbrook. So, I mean, he's not the best defender, but at least he tries. And he's, you know, people forget how good he was when he was healthy, even in Houston a couple years back when he started the year averaging 17 and 10 almost.
My whole thing with this is that it's been rumored for so long that I felt like if it was going to happen, it would have already happened. And also, the trade packages that the Lakers are trying to field for Westbrook, the Rockets are looking for the same thing for John Wall because matching contracts, they're looking to move off of him as well. So all those offers that the Lakers are packaging, if the Rockets are really adamant, they could probably find and offer a better package to somebody to take John Wall off their hands, like that Hornets trade or whoever that can get up to $47 million. Why would you take Westbrook when you could take an expiring John
Wall. Because Westbrook could sell, he will sell more tickets. He's a bigger personality, and he actually plays. That's one of the things. Yes, he's not as effective from the floor, but if I'm the Hornets, I would much rather have Westbrook, considering, you know, he's built up the Washington young core when he was there, and he's a good teammate according to a lot of teams. If you bring him into Charlotte to help LaMelo Ball, especially with his playmaking, I mean, that's huge.
He's going to sell tickets, but if you take him to Charlotte, you're not winning titles. And I think that at least
Charlotte's
they're like
not winning
to do
a title anytime soon.
I understand that, but at least they have that young talent right now that they could, that they're trying to build on that.
But I'm saying if you put Westbrook with LaMelo, that could actually work 100 times better since they don't play defense anyways. They were 28th in defensive rating. Charlotte's not going anywhere anyways next season, right?
So I would prefer John Wall over Westbrook.
You'd prefer a guy who plays 8 games. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I actually would.
Westbrook plays. You know, that's the one thing I will stand up for Westbrook.
The issue with the Lakers, and you just said it, that he doesn't fit. So I would
He doesn't fit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if I'm the Hornets, like he'd fit better in that offense considering they don't play defense and they're high-paced anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, don't both of these teams don't play defense? Your Lakers don't play D and all
Come on, one year. Okay, when was the last time? Okay, we can go back into this. When did the Clippers have the number one overall defense in the league?
We're not talking about
the Lakers did just 2 years ago. It's 1 year. It's an anomaly. That's what happens. It's an outlier.
The NBA is just like the NFL. It's a 1 year to 1 year. Like there's no.
It's a 1 year to 1 year. And if you look at the 70 years, the Clippers have zero rings.
Oh my gosh! We're not talking. Why are we talking about rings? We're talking about trying to get. We're trying to get the ring. Every year, every team is trying to get this ring. So if we're talking about that, we're talking about trying to contend for a title.
I think Houston is just.
I'm just saying, don't take Westbrook. That's all. I'm saying is that
why
Westbrook's
not
going to really. He's not
he sells
help
more
you.
Tickets than Wall.
Tickets aren't championships.
Yeah, but if you have him for 1 year, I mean, look, they're not winning anyways. He sells tickets more than Wall. He's more charismatic than Wall. He's a bigger personality than Wall. He's won an MVP. Wall hasn't. You know what I'm saying?
And if that's what you want, and if that's what you want to just sell tickets and you want to be in the short term, fine. By all means.
Get LiAngelo. Bring him up to the league.
Do it. Do it. You know, like, sell tickets. But I'm assuming that everybody wants to contend for a title.
The thing is something I've heard, and I know we'll get into this, but it's like, look, the Lakers were willing to give Westbrook for Wall straight up, but the Rockets wanted a first round pick. Are you kidding me? Everyone's trying to screw over Rob. I mean, the Nets came out today saying we want Davis for Kyrie. Are you kidding me? Like, go home. Go home. Like, are you really think? I mean, not even Rob is that stupid. Rob is actually a smart guy. He just hasn't proven yet. He wants to prove himself, and he knows he can't prove himself by giving up Anthony Davis for Kyrie Irving. He's only going to give up Westbrook and maybe a protected first-round pick because their value is very similar because Kyrie's unreliable. Yeah, he's a better fit in LA, but, like, geez, I mean, who knows? That whole trade scenario, it's looking more and more likely that Westbrook will be, from what I've heard in the last day, will be on the roster to start the year.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna agree with Brandon here. I don't think from the Lakers perspective a swap makes much sense. Wall's not gonna play games, especially and then if you're the Hornets, I kinda get what you're saying. I think they're not winning anything anyway, and a year for LaMelo Ball, a year of playing with Russell Westbrook is probably more beneficial than a year of playing with John Wall long term for his development.
Yep.
So I think that makes the most sense.
But if you're saying that they're not going to win a title anyway, then what's the point?
But that's beside the point.
Oh my god, that was your point.
I think if you're the Hornets,
I think a year of LaMelo Ball playing with Russell Westbrook for his development is more
than
more
John Wall.
Than like, John Wall or playing another year with Gordon
Westbrook
Hayward
is
and
a high
Rose
pace
here.
Player. LaMelo is a high pace player. Yes, LaMelo can actually shoot the basketball, and that's a difference. But Westbrook can teach him a lot of things that Wall can't.
And when Russ is playing with a mediocre offense, he's not terrible.
Exactly,
when he's able to do whatever he wants to do. I mean, he puts up the numbers. It's just a matter of when he's the third option and isn't the primary ball handler.
100%.
Where he tries to do too much.
He's very inefficient, but I'm just saying, like, from a player development perspective, having Westbrook on the roster is way, way better and more valuable than John Wall.
Or okay. Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, and Kelly Oubre. Doesn't matter.
All right. Well, moving on, and speaking of players that get hurt all the time, Kendrick Nunn, who missed all of last season because of a bone bruise in his right knee, is opting into the final year of his contract with the Lakers worth $5.25 million. Nunn, who's 26, averaged 15 points on 36.4% from three and 88.1% from the foul line in two seasons in Miami. How do you guys see Nunn fitting in with the Lakers next season?
I really like Nunn. And listen, I mean, this whole team was hurt, right? And Nunn was not a superstar, so no one was talking about him. But I think when you talk about how is this team going to look next year, who are guys who could be role players and contribute, Nunn is one. And I thought Nunn was a big signing for them and could have helped them out. Obviously missed the entire season. So when you talk about guys being hurt, again, the focus is not on Nunn. But when you talk about a guy who has, you know, 15 points per game, huge contributor, and when you talk about a cap-strapped team like the Lakers, that will be a
this
huge
is
guy. Huge.
Also, yeah. this is huge. Him opting in makes him a trade piece, too. Yeah. If you are going to get a Bradley Beal or a Kyrie, which is highly unlikely, if Nunn comes back, this is a hot take, but they have six extra wins last season just on Kendrick Nunn being there. His impact would have been just insane because he's almost 60% effective field goal percentage and true shooting percentage, shoots the ball lights out, plays elite defense. He was hurt last year, and G says he's hurt all the time. He's hurt only 1 year, but like, yes, that was the whole year. I agree, G. Hey, it's very concerning considering it was just a bone bruise, and who knows? I mean, he was in Crocs the whole year. I didn't know what the heck was going on, but he'll be back, and assuming he's healthy, he definitely raises the outlook of this team. And this is a guy you could slot in as a sixth man, or when Westbrook's off the roster, if you do decide to part ways with him in some shape, way, or form, he could play point guard, and he's going to shoot the ball. He's a perfect fit alongside LeBron. 3 and D. That's what he is. And he's a hard-nosed player. These are the types of guys they need. This is the types of guys they needed last year. I can see them getting the 9 seed instead of the 11 seed or 12 seed last year if Nunn is just healthy, you know?
Yeah, this is a guy who's a year removed from, I mean, in 56 games, averaging 14.6 points a game, shooting 48.5% from the field, 93% from the line, 38% from beyond. I mean, this is a real basketball player. This isn't Wesley Matthews. This isn't Ben McLemore.
Well, those guys can play defense. It's okay. Like, let's give them credit. No, I'd rather have a number one defense and no shooters than all offense and no defense.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real contributor. This is a guy who's going to make an impact on the floor. It's a big deal. And like Brandon said, him opting in and being able to be a trade piece is another really big factor.
Because he's valuable.
Yeah, for sure.
As you know, even though he missed last season, fellow GMs, they know like Kendrick Nunn is valuable. Also, with a terrible free throw shooting team like the Lakers, his free throw shooting is going to be, and it needs to be great. And Anthony Davis, the difference when they won the championship, 86% from the line to 70% last season. If Anthony Davis literally just boosts 6 to 10% to like 10%, he's averaging 27 points per game instead of 23 points per game. So that'll be huge too.
Yeah, it's going to be a big addition for them. He can give them stuff on the ball, off the ball. What I'm concerned about is still the injury stuff, because we never even found out what was going on with him. At the end of the day, we don't even know. I mean, they said bone bruise, but it was so suspicious. I don't remember a player that had that small of an injury turn into a whole year-long thing. I hope it's not. I mean, I guess we're kind of seeing the same situation now with Lonzo. Yeah.
I knew you were going to bring it up.
That's where my brain went. And this is, it just seems like somebody who, if he's healthy, he definitely can contribute for this team. And I really think that this is a guy that when they look at like who's the final five guys on the court in a close game, he could end up being one of those five guys. It's just health. If he can be healthy, he can contribute.
Well, moving on, the NBA draft is Thursday, like we said before. And many people believe Jabari Smith Jr. will be the first overall selection, despite Paolo Banchero's odds skyrocketing. Who's the best player in this draft, guys, and who should the Magic select with the first overall pick?
I'm going to say Jabari is going to be the first pick in the draft, but I will say this. I am with a group of four people who really watch college hoops and really have been watching the draft, and I got to be honest, in terms of all the sports that I cover, and G.A. knows this from our longtime friendship, she loves college basketball. I'm not the biggest college basketball fan, so I will defer to the group here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I cover the NBA draft every year. I consider myself an evaluator, not trying to pump myself up, but I wrote a full two-round mock. I've watched a lot of these games. the best player in this draft is not Jabari Smith Jr. The Magic are going to, I wouldn't say botch this pick, because Jabari Smith Jr. is still going to be a very good NBA player and possibly an all-star. But if they take Paolo, they won't win a ring for 15 years. And I know some people are higher on Paolo than like, I mean, they're not going to win a ring in 15 years anyways. But like, you get what I'm saying. That's like a botched selection. I have Paolo as the 6th or 7th ranked guy in my draft, which isn't bad, honestly. But everyone's trying to make it seem like this guy's 1, 2, or 3, when really the best player in this draft is Jaden Ivey. But they have tons of guards. They have Cole Anthony. They have, you know, Jalen Suggs. I mean, you still have Markel Fultz if he's ever healthy, right? So you can't draft a guard. Second best player in this draft, in my opinion, is Chet Holmgren. So you got to take him. But they're not going to do it. They're going to take Jabari Smith Jr. It'll be fine. But, I mean, if you have the number one pick, I'm picking on upside. And that's Ivy, Holmgren, or Sharp. And they're going to take none of those guys, you know?
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. I agree with you. I've been high on Ivy for all season long.
Yeah.
All NCAA season long. I think that this kid has he has a great future. He's NBA ready.
Like 100%. He's bigger. He's as athletic as Ja Morant almost, and he's way bigger, which means he's not going to get injured as much.
The thing that sucks, though, is that Paolo Banchero is, like, he just looks like an NBA player.
He
like,
does. Look, I'll give him this. He's 7 feet tall, and, you know, this...
6'10", but yeah.
Well, I guess with shoes, they listed him at, like, 6'11", 7 feet.
Yeah, you know that you get listed at...
Look, I was 6'8", on max preps. Yeah. I'm only 6'6", so, I mean, I get what you're saying. I was going to say Banchero, he'll be fine on the offensive end. Can't play defense, though. Yeah.
Look. I just don't understand how all of us like Ivy, and then nobody in the top three seems to want him. Okay, Orlando, you have a lot of guards, but like Houston, you're going to really pass up on a potential Jaden Ivy, Jalen Green backcourt to take Paolo. Paolo better be really good.
I'm wondering if this is like a draft day situation where he has some like something in the closet or something like that, where like they have some issues and some worries.
I mean, as a Big Ten guy, I watched so much Jaden Ivey this year. He has the quickest first step I've ever seen.
He's going to be an NBA superstar.
And I knew that before I saw him live, and then he came to Madison, and it's the most insane thing I've ever seen. That being said, I do think that Paolo Banchero has the most upside in this draft. I know he doesn't play defense. I understand he doesn't play defense, Brandon, but I do think that he has the tools that need a little bit of refining at the professional level. But I do think, I think Jabari Smith goes one, but I think Paolo is the best NBA career out of the draft.
Okay, let's leave it there for now. We will talk more about the draft, not only in the second segment, but tomorrow. But we will leave it there right now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Grant Mona. When we return on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, The Fan in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back. With $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Los Angeles, Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit Circa Sports. Sports.com for details. And here he is, our main man from the Great 1-8, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
I always love when you mention the Great 1-8.
That's right.
Every time I come on here, it's awesome. I'm doing really well. It's kind of an odd day here in SoCal. Thunderstorm.
I know.
What's going on? It's June.
It's nuts.
Kind of weird, but... I'm glad to be on. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, no, that was really odd when Armand and I like walked into the studio today. I'm like, rain? What the heck?
Yeah, it was drizzling
there?
And yeah. It was like hot.
It was like a slow and heavy rain. It was weird.
Feels like Florida over here.
I was just going to say, it's like
yeah,
we're.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Grant, big day tomorrow. We have a draft day, a lot of talk about who's going to be the first pick in the draft. So let's, I guess, a two part question. A, who do you think will be the first pick in the draft and who should be?
Well, who should be is the big question, because who should be is Chet Holmgren, because he's, to me, he's a generational talent. I mean, if you look at the guy, 7'1" center, I mean, he's an elite shot blocker. He can shoot the three. You know, he's been compared to guys like, you know, Anthony Davis. He's been, you know, I feel like everybody's compared to Kevin Durant nowadays. Like Brandon Ingram was compared to Kevin Durant. All these long guys that are very skinny compared to Kevin Durant. But I don't think, you know, he's going to be as gifted of a scorer as Kevin Durant is, but I do see that comparison. Maybe a Kristaps Porzingis, maybe early in his Knicks days. So I think that the Magic can get a really good one there. But, I mean, it looks like all the signs are pointing to Jabari Smith Jr. going to the Magic, which is kind of weird, because if you think about the comparison between Jabari Smith Jr. and Chet Holmgren, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? But if you look at the Thunder, if they take Chet Holmgren, pairing him with SGA, pairing him with Mann, pairing him with Dort, that's a really good pick for them. So the Thunder will probably pick him if the Magic pass up on him. So, you know, hey, that's the Magic's fault. Nothing I can say about that. But what I've noticed is a lot of 3-and-D guys in this draft that I haven't noticed in drafts before. Like, there's a lot of wings. And I know wings win you a lot of games, but there's a lot of 3-and-D guys, a lot of bigger players in this first round. So I'm pretty excited.
Before we pass it to Brandon, I want to echo the need to limit the Kevin Durant comparisons. Imani Bates was apparently, you know, the next Kevin Durant, Brandon Ingram. These, as you said, these long, lanky guys that are just too skinny for their own bodies that have really big wingspans. Everyone's the next Kevin Durant. Yep. So that's just my piece. Brandon, go ahead.
The guy that'll be compared the most to Kevin Durant is next year's draft. That's Victor Wembanyama.
That, I mean,
that's the best draft prospect since LeBron James.
Agreed.
It's not even close.
Agreed.
I don't. It's bold.
Guy was 7'3".
Yeah, he was made in a lab. 7'3", bigger than Chet Holmgren, can hit threes, can block shots, can pass at an elite level. Whoever takes him number one next year, they're probably going to win a championship. At some point.
Wow.
That's how good this guy is, and that's why a lot of teams are like with the Kings. I don't get trying to win now when you can miss out on the coveted.
The Kings don't do anything they're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, they trade Tyrese. They drafted well, but then they traded Tyrese, and I like Davion Mitchell, and you know. But I wanted to ask you, Grant, about Paolo. We got some Paolo guys in here, and you know, it's like for me, I like Paolo as an offensive player. I think, you know, he's obviously 6'10", 6'11", can dish it at a high level. He showed that in the NCAA tournament, like 7 assists per 60 possessions or something crazy like that. Right. He also shot close to 45% from three in the NCAA tournament, which is promising, way better than his 34% rate at Duke. I still don't love his jumper. I don't love his defense. I mean, they call him T-Rex arms because his wingspan is so short for a 6'11 guy. And I, you know, that's.
So I have a quick question before you ask Grant anything. Where did this nickname come from? Because I avidly watch Duke and ain't nobody calling him T-Rex arms. I'm
promoting the Twitter echo chamber of rumors and, you know,
It was just a question. I wasn't debating you. I'm just like, I've never heard him called.
Well, because, you know, I mean, his wingspan isn't like that bad. It's like 6'8", but like if he's 6'10", like.
Right. It's not past the length.
I mean, if he had a 7'4" wingspan, he'd be the first overall pick and it wouldn't be close. But like, Grant, I like him as a prospect. I have him 6th or 7th on my list, on my big board, but not in the top three like everyone says. I do like his offensive output. I think he'd be a good fit in Houston since he doesn't play defense and that whole team doesn't play defense anyways. But what are your thoughts on him and the projected odds continuing to go up for the Magic to throw one out of left field and take him at number one overall?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just the fact that he's such a big guy that everyone's kind of getting enamored by. He is a huge gentleman. Like, there's no way around that. But, you know, like you said, the defense is a concern. I mean, yeah, his shooting improved in the tournament, but, you know, it wasn't that elite, you know, throughout the whole season for Duke. And, you know, I think that we're focusing too much on his size rather than the skill set that he... Because I feel like this guy is a work in progress. I feel like I can compare him to maybe, like, an Andrew Wiggins-type player now. Like, a guy that's going to be... Not really the number one, number two, but like that third guy that can support a championship team, a guy that can do all the dirty work, that can get to the rim, cut, flash. I think he'll be really good at that just because of his size, but I think we have a sleeper. I think Nikola Jokic and Brandon,
yeah, my man, he's in my top five. Everyone called me crazy on TikTok. Everyone called me crazy.
Yeah.
That is a future superstar if he's developed correctly. 6'11", can do it all offensively. Continue.
I mean, yeah. I mean, all these Serbian guys, look at this. I mean, his name is one letter off from Nikola Jokic.
How could you not take him? Teams better not let him fall to Denver. If they do, oh my gosh, Denver will win like five championships.
Completely agree. Completely agree. But he's a sleeper for me. I think he can be one of those guys that could just transform into this guy that can take over Franca. It's just like Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic didn't have that much praise coming out of the draft either. So he had to develop a lot of his skills, lose some weight, but when he got the hang of the game, man, look what happened.
And before Armand and Jake go, I just want to add one more thing about Jovic. The only concern for scouts is he wasn't as dominant as Jokic or even Dario Saric in that real basket league, but the intangibles in the upside are more than those than Jokic and Saric. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm like, I don't, you know, he just started shooting threes, 33% from three, his first year starting shooting threes. I mean, he was primarily like a dish it off, mid-range guy, get to the hoop, uses athleticism. Defense is obviously a concern, but he's so long, his wingspan's like 7'1". I mean, he's going to be able to play defense eventually. And even if he doesn't, he's an offensive superstar.
Grant, I just wanted to know your thoughts, general thoughts on Shaedon Sharpe, because there's been a lot of back and forth between a lot of the experts, whether they trust the lack of college experience or whether that doesn't matter. I think everybody in this room is in consensus that we like Shaedon Sharpe and we like his upside a lot. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think you guys are right on with that. I think that the upside is what people are banking on in the NBA right now with that guy, because it's kind of a boom bust, right? Like, you look at him and you kind of see, like, okay, the tools are there, the explosiveness is there, but can we develop him into a guy that can consistently do it? And I think that's the big thing with Shaedon Sharpe. I think people are looking at his upside. I mean, look, he was the number one player in the country out of high school, right? So, you know, that gives you something. I mean, he has explosiveness, he has, you know, the offensive game to get to those like 20 to 25 points per game. But I think with him, it's going to be a matter of consistency. It's not really going to be a matter of his talent and his offensive skills. It's going to be a matter of developing him into a guy that can consistently do it. So, and you know, we see things like that with guys like Ja Morant. Like, Ja Morant is a guy that, you know, he was all explosiveness, he was all this, but he had to learn the intangibles. He had to learn how to shoot the three at a consistent rate. He had to learn how to land right. He had to learn how to get to the rim and take the fouls and get through contact. So I think it's going to be a lot like that, to where, you know, obviously Ja Morant and him are very much not alike. But in terms of the offensive skill set, the offensive firepower that both of them bring, they both had to kind of develop what they have. So,
Grant, I know you mentioned Jovic, but is there a guy that you're looking at, maybe projected the end of the lottery, middle of the first round, like a Malachi Branham, Ty Washington type guy that you don't think is getting enough love?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if you think, yeah, you mentioned the guy Malachi Branham from Ohio State. I mean, he's a 6'6 guard, right? Like, well, he's kind of a guard, you know, small forward. You know, he averaged 14 points, 4 rebounds. You know, he shot 42% from the three. So that's kind of a guy, like, you know, like I was saying, a lot of these guys in this draft are 6 and higher. They're wings that can shoot the three and defend. I think that's what the NBA is kind of trending towards in terms of drafting guys right now, is like, hey, look at what the Celtics had in the finals. Look at what the Warriors had. They had Andrew Wiggins, a big wing, defend guys. They had Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, big wings that can score on both, and they can defend on the other side. That, look, both of these teams made the finals. So, like, these teams are saying, hey, you know what? That's a good formula. Let's try to do something like that. You know, because a lot of these guys, if you see the comparison, Kyle Anderson, Nicholas Batum, these long wings, these long guys that, you know, can defend on one hand and then go score on the other hand in the corner three if you need it. So, yeah, you know, like you said, there's a lot of talent in terms of, you know, offensive firepower. But on the other side, we're looking at a lot of defensive players this draft, which is really cool. I think that's really cool that we're looking at that right now.
Yeah, Grant, I 100% agree. I think it's great that people are finally stepping up to the plate and looking for people that defensively can win them titles or at least help out their program. Speaking of defense, I got to ask you about my boy, Mark Williams from Duke. I mean, I know everybody's going to sit here and give me a lot of flack for this, but I think that he's probably one of the best around up there that's going to go in my opinion, a little on the lower side. I think he's ranked like 15th.
He's going to go 13th to Charlotte, right? I think. Yeah.
So that's basically my question. Where do you think he ranks? Where do you think he should go? Where do you think he would be a good fit? And, where do you think he should go?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brandon mentioned that, Charlotte's a pretty good one for him. I mean, he's 240 pounds. I mean, he reminds me a lot of DeAndre Ayton, actually. He looks like a kind of guy that, he's going to be very underrated, right? I mean, he played 2 years. His three-point percentage isn't going to be there, right? But, his field goal percentage is always high. It's always high. It was like 72% last year, I think, which is crazy. He only averaged like 11 points, but I don't think as a center that's a big deal. I mean, DeAndre Ayton himself, he averaged around 12, 13 in the playoffs last year and in the finals, and everyone was like, oh, this is the best, center in the league right now, or this is one of the guys that we have to covet. So I think his comparison for me is kind of like a DeAndre Ayton where, he's not going to shoot the three, and DeAndre Ayton doesn't shoot the three either, but his shooting percentage, 73% at the free throw line, 72% as shooting around the field. He doesn't turn the ball over as a center, and in defense too, he averaged 2 steals a game, which is pretty good for a center. So I see his comparison to like DeAndre Ayton, and if the Hornets can get him and not like have to trade for Miles Turner or something like that, that's a huge get for them.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen. NBA scouts are very low on Williams. I wanted to ask you, Grant, about Jaden Ivey, my top player in the draft. Big board wise, I have Holmgren 2, 3, Shaden Sharp, Jabari Smith are kind of tied at 3 just because of upside. So what do you think of Jaden Ivey going into the league?
There's a lot of talk about this kid, right? I mean, and for good reason. I watched him at Purdue, and he was electric. Like, he was absolutely electric. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are saying, hey, maybe he should be the number one overall. But, like I was talking about with all these other guys, he's kind of like John Morant, right? Where, he needs to improve defensively. John Morant was kind of like that, too. But Ivy is a way better three-point shooter than John Morant was in college in his first couple of years. So he has that already. He averaged 17 points, which is pretty good. I think he's really like a budding offensive superstar. I really do. I see a lot of explosiveness just like John Morant. I know I keep comparing people to him, but we have a lot of players nowadays that are modeling their game around John Morant and saying, hey, if I can just be explosive on the offensive end, I can go through contact, I can get to the rim, I can score. And Jaden Ivey has that. I mean, he's 6'4", he's kind of undersized, but not really. But, he can play point guard and shooting guard. That's the good thing about him. I mean, he only averaged 36% on threes last year at Purdue. But, like I said, he's just going to need to tune up some things on the defensive end. He's a better three-point shooter already, so I think he'll be just fine. The Pistons is kind of a weird pick to me, but I feel like he'd fit really well next to Cade Cunningham. So that would be a pretty big get for the Pistons, too.
And that's if the Kings keep the pick. Because if the Kings keep the pick, I highly doubt they select Ivy unless they're going to trade him. So he should be available. Him or Sharp is going to be available at 5 for the Pistons. So the Pistons will win the draft either way if they take one of those two guys. If they take Ben Mathurin or Keegan Murray, they do not win the draft. Because if Sharp is available and Ivy is available, you have to take those guys at 5. Grant, I wanted to ask you one more thing about Jaden Hardy, the number 2 player in the country out of high school. Can shoot from almost half court, can take over games offensively, struggled in the G League at the beginning of the year, but averaged 20 points per game and a much more efficient line from the floor in the second half. He's projected to go in the late first. He was, before the season started, he was a top 5, top 10 prospect, but now late first. Is this a steal for teams? Could the Golden State Warriors keep their pick and take him and continue their rebuild? Or could a contending team really get a steal here with Hardy?
I mean, yeah, he's 6'4", 200. I mean, he averaged 30.4 points in high school, which is insane. Like you said, he was a number 2 guy coming out of high school. He uses his speed and his aggressiveness, though, to his advantage. Like, I think, he's the kind of guy that loves to attack the rim. I think his court vision, his passing is kind of iffy right now. I think he's going to get a little better at that if he wants to be a point guard in the league. I know he's 6'4", I think if he wants to be a point guard, he needs to, shore that up. He has great playmaking ability. I mean, this guy is the kind of guy that's just going to go at it. He wants the ball every time. But I think that, he needs to shore up his court vision if he wants to be a pretty good point guard in the league. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Warriors get a guy like this, I mean, and then they have Kuminga and Moody, too. what else can I say? I mean, the Warriors are so great at scouting. They have the best front office in the league. So if they pick this guy, shoot. But that development team with Kenny Atkinson coming back, and they develop Jaden Hardy with Kuminga and Moody, that's pretty scary to me.
Grant, one more guy I want to ask you about is Johnny Davis, who I got to watch firsthand at Wisconsin all year. One major concern amongst evaluators is his efficiency numbers, which I will admit were not very good this year, but I think that had a large part to do with the fact that without him on the floor, the Badgers were an NAIA team. He was literally forced to touch the ball every offensive possession, take shots he probably didn't want to take because they truly didn't have many other options. I have him somewhere between 8 and 11. What are your thoughts on Johnny D?
Yeah, I think like he's another guy that's like he's going to be like a slasher in this league. I mean, he's a great mid-range shooter. I wish he would take some notes from Kawhi Leonard because I feel like he can develop into a guy like that. Yeah, he's a shooting guard. Yeah, he's only 6'5", but with his mid-range being that good, like I feel like he can be compared to a guy like maybe KCP, like a guy that can slash. He can you know make his own shot if he needs to, but he's going to stand in that corner, hit the three, and defend at a pretty high level. He's a pretty good transition player too. Which is pretty good to have in the NBA, but this dude is really confident. He's very aggressive, very confident. He gets to his spots when he wants to. So a top 15 pick for this guy really wouldn't surprise me, but just because, you know, he looks good operating at the mid-range level, but, you know, I guess his pick and roll game has to get a little bit better. But yeah, I think his comparison is a guy like maybe like KCP, maybe, even like Kyle Kuzma. I know it's 6'5", Kuzma 6'7", but a guy that can flash off the pick and roll. He can play alongside a guy that can give him the ball. So I really like him too. Like I said, this draft is full of guys that are crafty flashers, so I like it. I like it a lot.
Grant, we have 2 minutes, 30 seconds left. I wanted to ask you, the Clippers have the 43rd overall pick, and the Lakers are expected to buy a second-round pick and give you know, cash considerations for a selection in the second round. What are your thoughts there? Who are these two teams going to prioritize here quickly in just a minute, 30 seconds?
I mean, I'm not really sure if the Clippers are even. I mean, I know Jerry West and Steve Ballmer are doing everything they can in the scouting department, but right now, we really don't really need to do much in the draft. Like, even if we get a guy that has high upside, he's really not that great. You know, I think a guy maybe in the 43rd pick for the Clippers, maybe like John Montero. It's like a high risk, high reward. I really don't know, you know, what his upside could be, but you know, we really need a guy that's either a center or a point guard, because that's been our problem for years and years and years. It's like last year we had Reggie Jackson, didn't really have Jason Preston. Jason Preston we drafted last year, he got hurt, didn't play the whole year. So I think the Clippers are going to look at the center position and the point guard position for these guys that are like fringe late first rounders that maybe like drop too far. Just like we saw with Brandon Boston Jr. Brandon Boston Jr. dropped all the way to the Clippers, and he has all the intangibles to be a great, great player in the NBA. So I have a lot of faith in the Clippers front office, but you know, I just think that we're going to look at centers and point guards this time. That's really what we need to shore up, because Zubac is, you know, he's going to warrant a lot of money in free agency, and can we pay him? Maybe, maybe not. Ballmer has a lot of money, but he'll be gone in next year, maybe the year after. So we need to have a center for the future, a point guard for the future.
And real quick, Brandon, you did a 2-round mock draft, right? A full mock for the draft?
Yes, if you want to look it up, ballersportsdialogue.substack.com. Full 2-round mock evaluations of all prospects that I have going in this draft. So
who's like the one steal? Who's like a second
steal.
Round?
Oh,
like,
second round know, or so first round?
Let's say like late first, early second.
Yeah, Jalen Williams from Santa Clara and the Jalen Williams from Arkansas, both great players. One's a Spencer Dinwiddie type player. The other is a Robert Williams type player. Second round, Josh Minot, super athletic wing. Christian Coloco from Arizona, another guy. And possibly Jamari Bouye from San Francisco, another guy can really NBA ready.
All right, that's perfect. Grant, Mona, you're the best. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.